coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. Today's program presents a timeless message from Dr. Oswald Hoffman about things that change and the God who doesn't.
Making the cross of Christ your own will change your whole outlook on life. It will bring you into a relationship of friendship with God, the kind that God wants to have with you. It will give God his chance to make you more and more the kind of person that he intended you to be. And that's pretty wonderful, considering what God has got to work with in the case of most of us.
Dr. Hoffman's message is titled, We Preach Christ Crucified. Hello, I'm Mark Eicher. Thanks for joining us today. Your gifts and prayers help the Lutheran Hour bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Thank you for your faithful support. Rapid technological and social change is not new. It was already taking place more than 60 years ago when the sermon we're about to hear was first broadcast. Here's how Lutheran Hour speaker Dr. Oswald Hoffman expressed it in this message from 1955.
At the close of this last session of the United States Congress, a representative introduced a bill to give the name astronaut to a new object not yet in existence. The latest addition to the family, whose birth has been announced as being about 2 years off, is the satellite which scientists hope to shoot into outer space. It is expected to revolve around the Earth about 200 to 300 miles above the Earth's surface and to keep on going around for several weeks or even for months until it finally re-enters our atmosphere and is destroyed by the heat which friction will then create. Things are happening pretty fast these days when the dreams of a decade ago become realities so quickly. People dreamed about flying for centuries, for example, before flying actually became a reality. Then it didn't come through the flapping of wings, as some people thought it would, but rather through the application to power-driven craft of the principles which enable birds to fly by simply flapping their wings and by gliding about motionless in the sky. All of this took a long time. Today, events move more quickly. Frederick Lewis Allen titled his book about the years 1900 to 1950, The Big Change. The biggest changes, however, have taken place since 1950, during the last 5 years. There is the prospect of even bigger things to come, with automation in industry, for example. Automation was a term coined by a Ford Motor Company executive in 1945 to describe the new industrial revolution in which machines are being developed to run the machines that we already have. Chevrolet of Canada has a machine two city blocks long that completely processes motors in the assembly of automobiles. The telephone dial system, bank clearinghouses, and other enterprises are in the midst of automation right now. Who is to say how much our lives are going to be affected by these developments, as well as those in the field of the peaceful use of atomic energy, which are coming along a lot faster than most people recognize right now? Things are happening so fast that it is impossible to get a grip on them before they slip away, replaced by something new and better. Is there no way to get a grip on anything in our rapidly developing civilization? Someone has said that our world has been so quickly inoculated with Christianity that very likely it will never catch the real thing. Is there a real thing? Something you can hang on to? If so, what is it? I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the real thing, the one that never changes. It's what we preach about on this program. We preach Christ crucified. St. Paul said that. He went on to say that wherever he preached Christ crucified, he was met by incredulity and skepticism. But we preach Christ crucified, he said, unto the Jews, that is to the people who took religion seriously, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, that is the people who were intellectual, foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, without discrimination, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. It did not bother St. Paul that people could not seem to understand the simple fact of Christ's cross, or did not even want to try to understand it. He did not modify his preaching or water it down because of this fact. He just said, "This is what we preach. We preach Christ crucified. Take it or leave it, but when you leave it, remember what you are leaving behind and what it is going to mean to you. We preach Christ crucified." That was St. Paul's way of saying that sin, or whatever other name you want to give to departure from God and his law, is a costly business. It costs somebody crucifixion. It costs us most of all, those of us who are sinners. And who of us is not a sinner? Sin makes cowards of us all, and it makes us enemies as well. You've heard a man say, "I'm in the doghouse these days." What he means to say is that he made an appointment with his wife to select wallpaper for the living room and then forgot all about it. He promised to bring home ice cream for dinner and failed to remember his promise. He came in out of the rain and tracked mud all over the living room rug. It takes a good kiss and maybe a bouquet of flowers the next day to get things straightened out. All too often, being in the doghouse is not only a matter of our having incurred the anger of somebody else, but it's a matter, too, of our setting up a wall between them and us through our own feeling of guilt. We don't want to give. We don't want to admit that we were wrong. It only makes things worse to know that we were wrong. And that's the situation in which every man finds himself with God. The meaning of Christ's cross is that God took the initiative to break that wall down, to get us out of the spiritual doghouse. And this was no mere tactical maneuver on his part. He loved us. He pitied us. He determined that nothing should be allowed to stand in the way of that love of his, even if it meant taking all our guilt upon himself. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. All we like sheep had gone astray. We had turned every one to his own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was laid the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. We preach Christ crucified. St. Paul said that as if there is a connection between the cross and our sin. And there is. As St. Paul said to the Colossians, "God has forgiven you all your sins." Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head to the cross. And then, having drawn the sting of all the powers ranged against us, he exposed them, shattered, empty, and defeated in his final glorious triumphant act. And that, of course, was the resurrection. Do you have a sense of personal inadequacy? Is there the gnawing feeling at your soul that you aren't everything that you should be? Are you constantly irritated by your business associates, your friends, members of your family? Are you bothered by temptations of one kind or another that keep coming back no matter how hard you try to dispel them? I can't promise you that acceptance of Christ crucified will solve all of your personality problems, or will solve any of them immediately. But this I say with complete confidence: making the cross of Christ your own will change your whole outlook on life. It will bring you into a relationship of friendship with God, the kind that God wants to have with you. It will give God his chance to make you more and more the kind of person that he intended you to be. And that's pretty wonderful, considering what God has got to work with in the case of most of us. It's pretty wonderful all around that God sent his Son and that he died to bring us back to God. It was the glory and the wonder of it which caused St. Paul to say to all of us, "Christ did not send me to see how many I could baptize, but to proclaim the gospel. And I have not done this by the persuasiveness of clever words, for I have no desire to rob the cross of its power." The preaching of the cross is, I know, nonsense to those who are involved in this dying world. But to us who are being saved from that death, it is nothing less than the power of God. It is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the prudence of the prudent will I reject." For consider, what have the philosopher, the writer, and the critic of this world to show for all of their wisdom? Has not God made the wisdom of this world look foolish? For it was after the world in its wisdom had failed to know God that he in his wisdom chose to save all who would believe by the simple-mindedness of the gospel message. For the Jews ask for miraculous proofs, and the Greeks an intellectual panacea. But all we preach is Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and sheer nonsense to the Gentiles. But for those who are called, whether Jews or Gentiles, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen.
You're listening to the Lutheran Hour, and we just heard a message from Dr. Oswald Hoffman, first preached in 1955, talking about the rapid pace of technology. I'm joined here in the studio by Dr. Tony Cook, Director of U.S. Ministries here at Lutheran Hour Ministries. The rapid pace of technology has not slowed at all, has it?
I remember when I was a kid, I lived out on a farm, out in the middle of a cornfield. We didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have cable TV. We didn't have a cell phone. We didn't have an answering machine. At one point, we didn't have computers, you know, anything like that. And to think of where we are today, it was like I was living, you know, like life on the prairie, you know, or something like that. And then all of a sudden, those technological advances started, and they started to, you know, kind of multiply in their speed. I'm starting to get to that age that I'm thinking, well, I'll just let the next generation deal with that. I can remember when the internet came out, I had this thought that, well, I'm sure that's just kind of for kids. I really don't need that. And now today, you know, how it's just kind of permeated everything. So, yeah, technology, I think, is an amazing, amazing gift. But it does make your head spin. And it also brings questions of morality and usage and how we're using things appropriately or inappropriately as well.
Dr. Hoffman, speaking back in 1955, said things are happening so fast it's impossible to get a grip on them before they slip away, replaced by something new and better. That's the same thing we could say today. What does that mean for Christianity, for the church?
Well, it's interesting. Here at the Lutheran Hour, we use technology a lot to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out into the world. But someone once said that the internet is where religions go to die.
Really?
Yeah, and it's kind of an odd.
What do they mean by that?
Well, I think that the point is that when you have a faith of any kind that's talked about on the internet, you're exposed to all the other ones. And you're exposed to people from all these different belief systems that say, no, this is the right point. No, this is the right point. Or my way is, and here's the proof for this, or whatever it might be. I think it's partially because of the fact of exposure. And as I go back to the beginning of this, when I grew up in the middle of a cornfield, I wasn't exposed to anybody other than the 600 people who lived in my town, you know. But now every religion, every thought, every philosophy that exists in the world comes to you. And I think for many people, that is a challenge, and they don't know how to necessarily think through those things. So I think it's important on the one hand that as Christians that we use technology in a way that gains a hearing for the gospel of Jesus Christ and that proclaims that gospel in a way that is clear, maybe even more than it has been in the past, because we can't assume that people understand the message of the church anymore with all these competing messages that are there. So on the one hand, technology is this great tool for us to use to communicate the gospel, but also it presents challenges with other ways of looking at things. Sometimes that can be a challenge. Or just for people who might not be as strong in their faith or thought about their faith, that might challenge them as well. Not that we should pull out of technology, but understanding who we are and whose we are and being able to articulate our faith clearly as we confront these diverse messages, I think is extremely important with all of this technological change.
And as much as technology continues to change, what remains the same is God's love for us in Jesus Christ. And we preach that message each week here on the program.
And that's kind of the beauty, I think, of Christianity is the goalposts really never move. You know, it's Jesus has already kicked that ball and that game has been won. And for us, the message is the same. The message that because of Jesus Christ, that the love of God is here for you, that the kingdom is here for you, that there is a place that has been prepared for you by God, and God isn't your enemy. He's not against you. He wants you to be with him forever in his kingdom. And that comes through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And while things are changing, you can never change that. That's something that is historic. It's something that's happened. And it's something that regardless of what you're facing, you can always go back to and say, this is the one thing that makes the difference.
And in that crucifixion and resurrection, we find our identity then as people of God.
Oh, and this is the kind of the beauty of it. And almost not only beauty, but it's like a beautiful mystery to me. Our identity being connected to Jesus, that in our baptism, that death that we talked about that saves the world from sin, we are connected to that death. So in our baptism, we die and we rise with Jesus. And our identity is directly connected to the identity of the Son of God. And so when you worry about who am I in these changing times, how do people perceive me on Facebook and all these other technological platforms, the real question that we should be asking is how does God see us? And God sees us in Jesus. Our identity is Him, in Him. We have died and risen with Him. And when He looks at us, He sees through that death and resurrection of His Son. And He loves us, and He cares for us, and He forgives us, and He wants us to know who He is.
At the same time, that message is not an easy one. It's perceived as foolish, both by those who take religion very seriously and by those who don't.
Yeah.
Dr. Hoffman talked about that, the foolishness of the message that is being preached, and yet that is the message that contains the power of God for saving us.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you talk about that Christianity is foolishness, on the one hand, a person could say that and you think, well, that's a horrible thing to say. I'm sure that's not correct. But if you ever take time to look at it, you'd be like, well, no, I guess it is. it's foolishness to our human way of thinking, really. The wisest person in the world would not have come up with this as a solution to the problem of sin, you know? So you think that, okay, sin came into the world and the solution is that God is going to sacrifice his son, Jesus, and that belief in that Jesus, in that Son of God and his sacrifice is somehow atoning for us. That doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. And so when you try to think about it cognitively with your mind or academically or treat it like math or science or, you know, something like that and dissect it, in the end, you kind of step back from it and you go, wow, that is not how I would have thought about that. That's not how I would have done that. But in many ways, that again is where the beauty of it is, that God's solution for a problem that transcends our ability to cope with it also has to transcend our ability to cope with it. So God had to provide a solution that was so beyond us that in many ways, I just kind of really stand in awe of what the gospel is and the depths that he went through and what that meant for Jesus. I can only barely begin to kind of grasp at that. You know, I read the Bible and I try to imagine, you know, what would that be like? And of course, I can't put myself in Jesus, you know, shoes at that point, or, you know, that he would die and that he would take on the sins of the world and that he would descend into hell and, you know, proclaim the victory, things like that. So I just have to stand back and I just say, you know, I believe it, but I don't understand it. And in many ways, when people say that sounds like foolishness, I just say, yeah, you're right. But it's not really about understanding it from a logical perspective. For me, it's about faith. And faith is a trust. And it's trusting that the solution God has provided in Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection is sufficient. And even though I don't understand it, even though I don't think anyone probably can, I trust in it.
Maybe another way of saying that same thing is to say that the cross of Christ is not so much foolishness as it is an offense. It's offensive to those who are trying to be right with God on their own terms, and it's also an offense to those who think they don't need to be right with God.
Yeah, in the passage that was the basis for our text for today, in many translations, it's translated as a stumbling block or a scandalon, and that is something that causes one to stumble, or in some translations, it falls on someone and hurts them, crushes them kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And so that is the gospel. I mean, it's foolishness, but it is an offense. And it's interesting because today people are very, very concerned about offense and offending others. And from our research, we found that one of the main reasons why people are apprehensive when sharing their faith is the fear of offense. But the irony of it is that the message that we have is inherently offensive and a stumbling block. So just like the Bible passage tells us, we preach Jesus and Jesus crucified, and it is this stumbling block. It is, as you said, an offense to the Jews and a folly to the Gentiles. It's offense to our reason. It's right in your face that says you can't understand this. The only thing you can possibly do is trust.
Looking ahead to next week's program, it's going to be an important day here for the Lutheran Hour because Dr. Michael Ziegler is going to make his debut as the next Lutheran Hour speaker. Tony, what do you think about that?
I think that's great. as one who has filled in over this past year when we have been in our vacancy of a speaker, I am thrilled to have him come here. I'm also thrilled because he brings to the table such a vibrant and unique way of proclaiming the gospel. And every time I hear him preach, I learn something new from it. I'm engaged by it. And I know that our listeners will be as well. So I can't wait to have him here. Not only, and you might not know this, not only does he preach on the Lutheran Hour, but he's a member of our U.S. Ministries team. And so he works with us in the development of our programming, in figuring out the ministries that we're developing, and he speaks into that process as well. So while he's a voice on the radio, he is also a valued partner in our United States outreach of the gospel as a whole.
I think our listeners will discover that each speaker brings their own different style to the program. In the case of Dr. Ziegler, I think he's going to make use of the radio medium in a special way, talking about that theater of the mind and making use of his voice to bring the words alive to the listener.
Yeah, he has experience actually in doing the Gospel of Mark from memory in connection with the Gospel of Mark program at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. It's amazing to hear him recite scripture from memory. And he just doesn't remember it, but he embodies it. Mm-hmm. And he presents it in a very engaging way. I remember that when we were going through and having people record sermons and, things like that during the interim, the first time that I heard him, the first thing he did was he read the Bible passage. And I was like, wow, if the sermon is as good as him reading the Bible passage, this is going to be great. But he has a talent for interpreting, and he has a talent for conveying with his voice. And I think you said theater to the mind is a great way of doing that. When you listen to him preach, you can close your eyes and you can visualize what's going on in the message.
And just a heads up for our listeners, I think this is going to be a case of active listening being called for on your part. This is not going to be the sort of thing where you can have it just kind of going in the background. I think Dr. Ziegler really captures and engages your imagination and requires you to follow along carefully because he's going to take you on a journey with his sermons.
Yeah, your salvation's free, but listen, it's going to take a little work, he is engaging, and to follow along with him, and I was a seminary professor for a number of years, so I think I've heard a lot of things, but the way that he presents the message, I think, okay, I haven't thought about it like that before. And my only problem is that while he's preaching, I start thinking and I start going down these, I wonder what that's like. And then I have to remind myself to keep listening because he's brought up these topics that are so engaging and presenting them in ways I haven't heard before. So he's a gifted preacher, but as we like to say, he's also in many ways challenging in the fact that he's not going to say the same thing in the same way, but that he's presenting it in a fresh way and an engaging way and a stimulating way.
To learn how you can support the worldwide outreach of Lutheran Hour Ministries, go to LutheranHour.org or call 1-855-JOHN-3-16. That's 1-855-564-6316. Our email address is info@LHM.org.
We sing the praise.
Join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.